We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
All right, welcome in. Hogan Johns, episode 118, and an emergency episode at that, because it has happened. Mitch Trubisky is the starting quarterback for your Chicago Bears against the Minnesota Vikings. A week from today, as we record Monday Night Football, and the Bears have made the move. Hello, Adam Hogue, Adam Johns. We're not here together, but we are both here. Adam, say hello to the people.
Hello, everybody. I'm sure everybody's very, very excited about this news today.
Yeah, and I think it was just a matter of when, not if, this was going to happen this week. I don't know about you. Look, we talked about this after the game on Thursday night's post-game episode. But the more it kind of sat and marinated over the weekend, I just could not find a reason for why Mike Glennon would start against the Vikings. Because
you were looking for reasons?
Well, I was just, you know.
Did you come up with one?
No, I didn't. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it was. You know, just trying to look at it from both sides. I'm sure for you, as it was for me all weekend. And I was in Wisconsin throughout the whole weekend because I had Wisconsin Northwestern radio duties on Saturday. I mean, just the amount of people I had conversations with over the weekend, family, friends, random people I would run into at State Street Brats on Saturday. I mean, they all want to know, is Trubisky starting? And I just kept saying, I mean, he has to, right? There's no – what would be the argument for him not starting with how bad Mike Glennon has played through 4 weeks?
There is no argument. There's no more excuses for Mike Glennon. He's made this situation untenable. The 8 turnovers, the lack of faith in the locker room, which was to me was pretty apparent.
Me too.
After the Packers loss, it had to happen.
I think that's the biggest reason why this is happening, the locker room. I think when you just – and actually, right as we're talking here and recording, the Bears have actually officially announced it on Twitter. Mitchell Trubisky will start Monday night against the Vikings. So there it is.
Welcome to the party, Bears.
Yeah. I think, you know, typical of them to drop this on an off day with no media availability. But we'll have our crack at John Fox tomorrow in an open locker room. Don't know when Trubisky will address the media. Glennon was scheduled to talk on Thursday. Everything's off a day this week. And coming off the Thursday night, it's, you know, this is why we kind of all thought that week 5 made a lot of sense, because there's a lot of time here to digest, the Vikings and prepare Mitch for this moment. But yeah, it was just time. It was obvious after the game Thursday, and it was just a matter of when, not if, for me.
Yeah, I went into the Packers game reporting and thinking that it was Mike Glennon's true last stand. And then the first play from scrimmage, strip sack. I know you want to blame Dow Loggins for leaving Clay Matthews one-on-one with tight end Deion Sims, but you look at the film, he had time. There was an open receiver. It's the same old story. The Bears were limited with Mitch Trubisky. We're limited with Mike Glennon. They are not so much limited with Mitch Trubisky. They could do so many different things offensively, just from a pure athletic standpoint. Certain play calls open up for Dow Loggins, so everything will be different for the Bears now. Expectations are different for the Bears now. The season feels different for the Bears now.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different angles we could start with. I started to get at you there before I saw the tweet from the Bears, but to me, the locker room matters first and foremost. John Fox even said that. You know, going into week one when I asked him what Mike Glennon had shown to be the starter, and he said the locker room knows, they know better than we do. I tweeted that quote out this morning because to me that quote resonated a lot. And when you went in the post-game locker room at Lambeau Thursday night, no one came out and openly criticized Mike Glennon or or you know, threw him under the bus. They're too good of teammates, and he's too good of a teammate for that to happen. But if you kind of read between the lines and listened closely to what the players had to say, a lot of them, and probably Akeem Hicks said it most clearly, change needed to be made. And it was said in a general standpoint, but it was pretty obvious what everyone was referring to. It was obvious what John Fox was referring to after the game as well. And then again, when he addressed the media Friday, this was just a situation where it maybe had been obvious to us for a few weeks, but it had finally become obvious to everyone in that organization that no matter what the plan was, it was time to change the plan.
Yeah, Mike Glennon's a good guy. He's a nice guy. His teammates really genuinely like him. But his play had become disheartening. And when that starts to stand out and really impact players' positive attitudes, and when they start becoming, you know, negative about situations, and let's be honest, it had become dire. 8 turnovers in 3 games, a 1-3 record, not much hope there in the locker room. And I get that fans needed hope, but we said it after the game. That locker room needed hope, and I think Mr. Trubisky provides that. The Bears have seen him evolve and grow since training camp. He has made considerable improvements since then. Mike Glennon, not so much. I mean, Mitch Trubisky was excelling against the Bears' starting defense during his scout team work during the regular season. So players see this. They identify with this. They see a winner. I remember in training camp where players would start praising Mitch Trubisky, then they would start to couch their comments because they don't want to get too far ahead of themselves.
Yeah.
Players see this, and they've seen it for a long time. Mitch Trubisky is just a different quarterback. He's the number 2 overall pick. So as much as these guys like Mike Glennon, they like what Mitch Trubisky can do for them as a football team very much so.
Well, and we even saw that last week, Victor Cruz, who spent the preseason playing a lot with Mitch Trubisky and then got cut, and he was on the NFL Network last week and had some interesting comments to say about both Trubisky and Glennon, but it was the same thing we've heard from pretty much everyone. I mean, it was, oh, Trubisky's going to be a great player, he has all this talent, blah, 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 and then with Glennon, it's, well, he gets everyone organized, he gets everyone lined up correctly, and then that was, to me, glaring, especially the last couple of games. They were not lined up correctly.
They were
having to call timeout. There were false starts because of cadence issues. There was a bad snap because of a cadence issue. They were not on the same page. He did not get everyone lined up correctly. And so if that wasn't even part of the equation, then, well, sure, I guarantee you Mitch Trubisky is going to have some of those problems on Monday night next week against the Vikings. But they're already having that problem. So you go to the rookie and let him figure all that out on the field, because it's going to happen no matter when you put him in. So the other thing I want to, and by the way, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoag, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You had some tweets this morning that seemed to have some insight on kind of how all this came about, and I don't know what you want to share from all that, but it's already out on Twitter.
Yeah. Look, since week 2, there's been, let's call it, feelings of discontent with Mike Glennon and certain levels of the organization. We're just not talking about the locker room now. And even the Steelers win, that didn't make those feelings go away. The Bears beat the Pittsburgh Steelers despite having Mike Glennon as their quarterback. He almost cost them that game with 2 fourth quarter interceptions, got away with 1. But he almost lost that game for the Bears. And those feelings lingered, and they went into the Packers game, and then you start off with the strip sack, another fumble, and 2 interceptions thrown to guys who were, by all accounts, pretty open, I would say. It had to happen. The organization had enough. This was really not an argument. It was a coming together to reach a pretty obvious solution. Mike Glennon could no longer be your quarterback for obvious reasons. Mitch Trubisky had done enough during the scout team and done enough in the preseason and just really worked himself up to where the Bears are comfortable pulling the trigger on him. And here we are. He is going to be your week 5 starting quarterback against a pretty good Minnesota Vikings team with a pretty good defense. But the Bears believe he's capable of handling everything that's coming ahead for him. Now, there will be some ups and downs. Those should be expected. Fans should be excited. But They should know that there's going to be some really bad moments for Mitch Trubisky, but it was time. Enough was enough for Mike Glennon. It was time to play the kid.
I still am not – unless Trubisky is god-awful and a complete bust, I will probably never be convinced that the Bears didn't have a chance to win that game Thursday night if they had made that change in the middle of the game. And I, you know, that's a big difference between being 1-3 and 2-2. I'm not, I mean, who knows? They might not have come back, but they didn't have any chance in the world with Glennon out there, the way he was playing, the way that the offense was completely, not just limited, but also completely out of sync. I mean, that was obvious too. And that was the thing they sold us on with Glennon, was at least it would be in sync, right? At least it would run smoothly. Even if there were some limitations, but it was limited and out of sync. And, you know, I guess it doesn't matter now, but now you're 1-3. Now you're going forward with Trubisky. And I guess the question from that standpoint is, you know, I think you just called it an obvious solution. How much of a solution can this be? I watched all of the Vikings game against the Lions yesterday. They're beatable. Even though they have a good defense, and that defense is going to cause problems for Trubisky, no question. But they're beatable, especially if Sam Bradford's not out there, especially now Dalvin Cook, the rookie running back, he's got a torn ACL. He's out for the season. This is a game the Bears can win, and the Ravens the following week look plenty beatable too. So, you know, earlier you mentioned this whole season can look different from this point forward. How different can it look?
Well, I guess it depends on the growing pains for Mitch Trubisky, and there will be some, Adam. Right? It's inevitable. But look, we saw film. You and I watch film. We don't fancy ourselves scouts, but you look at the film and you see wide open receivers. These receivers, by all accounts, have been criticized to no end, but they're still getting open. Mike Glennon simply was not finding them or anticipating the routes well enough, despite having time in the pocket. Mitch Trubisky, from what we saw in the preseason, has a sense of anticipation. From what we saw in training camp, when we saw him every single day, he has a sense of anticipation for routes and for coverage. Mike Glennon was getting picked off by John Timu in camp.
Yeah.
You know, so there's going to be a difference in quarterback play that I think will really take the Bears to different levels. And I don't want to sound like I'm getting carried away with this, but just from a player standpoint and the differences that Mitch Trubisky can provide the offense. Look, it may not always work, but his escapability factor is going to benefit the offense. His ability to be a rollout like quarterback is going to affect the offense. Dow Loggins will have so many more plays to call because Mitch Trubisky is under center.
Yeah, and I think we all saw that in the preseason, and I agree with you. So look, here's what I have to say about the wide receivers. It's kind of hard to judge them. It's really hard to kind of judge whether or not. I think we certainly have seen moments on film where guys have been open on interceptions, where the ball didn't go that way, or on the fumbles. But I will say I don't think they're winning at the line of scrimmage, and they're not the kind of guys that can go up and grab, you know, jump balls like maybe the Bears had in the past with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. That being said, I don't think that they've been as bad as the statistics show. You know, Marcus Wheaton doesn't have a catch through 2 weeks. Has he been that bad? I don't know. It's hard to evaluate him with the quarterback play that the Bears were getting. So this gives you an opportunity to have the quarterback elevate the level of your wide receivers. How about this question? Do you think Tanner Gentry gets elevated from the practice squad with this quarterback change?
I would do it. That Josh Bellamy diving catch, I put it on Twitter a couple days ago, when he made that leaping attempt near the goal line, when Glennon kind of threw it into triple coverage, but Bellamy still got his hands on it until the defender was able to break it up. That reminded me of plays in camp where Tanner Gentry went over defenders and made falling down catches like that. If you look at Tanner Gentry's highlight film, he has continuously done that throughout his collegiate career. So he's got a great rapport with Mitch Trubisky. I think it's an obvious choice. And you're right, Adam. We'll have a better evaluation of the receivers. The quarterback can help guys get open. Just the idea of being able to run play action, to move the launching points, that will help these receivers gain separation. Look, one of Mitch Trubisky's best receivers, one of his go-to guys in college, was this little guy called Ryan Switzer. you mentioned small guys, you know, or big guys,
yeah,
who could go up and get it. Ryan Switzer is not a big guy who could go up and get it. The guy's all 5'8", 5'9", 175 pounds, 180 pounds. But you know what? He had a great rapport with Mitch Trubisky. He had that little short area quickness that scouts rave about. The Bears have some of those guys on their roster.
Well, they have Tariq Cohen, who's being used that way.
Yeah, I still think Kendall Wright still has some burst. I thought he was okay in some games. And he was wide open on a lot of plays, I have to say. And if you look back at the tape, if there's one player who's really excited about this, it has to be Kendall Wright, as that over-the-middle slot option. He's there for the quarterback. Maybe Mitch Trubisky can find him.
And another guy a lot of people have been wondering why he's not on the field more is Adam Shaheen, who I think is going through some growing pains jumping from the D2 level to the NFL. But one thing I will say is he worked with Mitch Trubisky a lot in the preseason, had way more experience and chemistry with Trubisky than he did Mike Glennon. So I think that that's another guy who could benefit from this move. I think there's some other things going on there and reasons why he's not on the field, particularly from a blocking standpoint. But if I'm Adam Shaheen, I'm also excited about this move. If I'm the defense, I'm extremely excited about this move. I mean, how do you have to keep going out on the field after four turnovers? That's what leads to divisions and offense versus defensive divides in locker rooms that we've seen in the past, even here in Chicago. So that's what it gets back to with the locker room, that this move just kind of had to happen. I don't think the coaches, I don't think Ryan Pace had any choice anymore.
Yeah, you watched that Packers game, and the defense actually settled in at one point, kind of late in the first quarter into the second. Like, there was a pretty good play by the Bears defense. I know they had some breakdowns early and later in the game, but if they had any offensive success whatsoever, that game could have been different. Obviously, Mike Glennon did not provide that. He continued to turn the ball over. Things really got out of hand when the defensive breakdowns came about. But you're right, complimentary football. You know, your best defense, the defense is at its best when it's on the bench, right? You know, so you need offensive consistency. I know there's going to be ups and downs for Mitch Trubisky. There's going to be inconsistencies, but at least there's that hope for some improved play, especially after how bad Mike Glennon floundered over the first 4 weeks.
Yeah. So, all right, let's look at the other side of this. What happens with Mike Glennon? I'm assuming he'll remain the backup over Mark Sanchez. He's making too much money not to. I mean, would agree with that, at least, that Glennon will remain the backup?
You would hope.
Yeah. But there's no way he could be on this team next year, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, he's done. He's done after this year, for sure. I mean, his contract already said that. It's a three-year deal, $45 million, but it's only really a one-year deal, you know, worth $16 million plus $2.5 million. You know, for thank you, you know, come again.
Yeah, there's a roster bonus. There's a $2.5 million roster bonus that has to be paid on the third league day of 2018, and it is guaranteed. So the Bears will have to pay that. And then with the $2 million remaining from his signing bonus that's spread out from a cap standpoint over the next 2 years, he will carry a $4.5 million cap hit on the Bears' ledger next season. But, you know, otherwise, you're paying him a $12.5 million salary to stay on the team if you keep him around. So he's going to be gone.
In terms of this season, look, I know he doesn't really serve a purpose anymore, but if he's really that great teammate that the Bears believe he is, and by all accounts, he has been since he was signed, he was voted team captain. I do think that's symbolic in many, many ways, but I guess I would side with keeping him around in terms of that and having maybe something constructive with him. But I don't know. It's going to be an interesting dynamic. Maybe he just wants to leave in general. Maybe he just wants to be cut loose. Maybe there's some language in his contract that help offset things if another team picks him up. But that is going to be curious to see. I think Glennon will have a say in this. I really do, in terms of whether or not he wants to stick around or not.
You're talking about mid-season.
I'm talking about now, yeah.
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 I mean, I guess if he went to Ryan Pace and said, "Hey, man, I would prefer not to be around," I wouldn't blame him.
Absolutely. You can understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, his year that he was promised has turned into four starts. It's not so much the Bears are going bad on their word. I mean,
he did this to himself with his play, and I think absolutely that we can rule. It gets back to the draft pick. I don't think they went against – he's not guaranteed anything in terms of the Bears not drafting a quarterback. But to do so the way in which they did certainly caught him off guard, and I don't think is what he signed up for when he signed. But that's still the business of the NFL and the tough business of it sometime. I think the Bears still honored their word by probably sticking with him way longer than they should have, quite frankly. And I think a lot, and as I've been saying, I feel like I've been in the minority that a lot of this the last couple weeks has been because of Mike Glennon, not because of Mitch not being ready yet, but because they're trying to keep their word to Glennon and they really wanted it to work out, and it just didn't.
Yeah, he got an entire camp, 3 preseason starts, and 4 full regular season games. That is more than enough of an opportunity for you to prove yourself in so many facets of being a capable NFL starting quarterback. And I get the bitter feelings, but at the same time, your contract, if you looked at it in detail, it's only a 1-year deal. And you know the Bears are looking at quarterbacks. You have to understand how much of a problem position it's been for this, you know, historic franchise. I don't know. I think he should have realized the situation before. I know he liked the Bears of free agency and whatnot, but he had to realize that the possibility, if not the likelihood, of adding a rookie quarterback was going to happen despite the Bears' contract for him.
No.
You got to feel bad for him a little bit.
I do. By all accounts, he's a great guy, great locker room guy. He's been very professional with us, really professional after all these losses, but you know, production matters.
I my guess is that he'll stick around and we'll do everything right the rest of the season. But it is interesting to think about. And then it is, you know, now you got essentially 2 Mark Sanchez's on the team. You know, guys that you think can help develop Trubisky, impart some wisdom on him. Do you really need 2 of them though?
Yeah, don't you think it's kind of an odd dynamic that the replaced starter who got the big contract is going to be offering that advice when obviously whatever he was doing on the field was not quite working so well?
Right. Well, that gets back to what I was talking about with the offense last week. Like, what is Trubisky even learning from the Mike Glennon offense? Because it's going to look completely different with him in there. So, I mean, look, there's just a long list of reasons why I think we all understand why this move is being made now. And it has to be made. It is really interesting to think about, like, what is, you know, Mark Sant? I mean, do you keep 3 quarterbacks now? I don't know. These are all things they're going to have to think about this week, I guess.
I think the Bears have invested a lot in that quarterback position because of Mitch Trubisky. And I think Mark Sanchez in so many ways has been a great sounding board for Mitch Trubisky. You just look at him on the sideline during the game. I mean, Mitch Trubisky's like following Mark Sanchez around. And he said it himself that he wishes Sanchez would stop and talk more to him. But Sanchez is obviously involved in the game, wanting to help Mike Glennon. But Trubisky sees him as a great resource. And if Trubisky sees him as a great resource, you know the Bears see him as a great resource. So Mark Sanchez, in my opinion, is not going anywhere.
So this just popped in my head. The Mike Glennon contract will kind of go down as the a Brock Osweiler situation, where you way overpaid for a guy with not a whole lot of starts. You thought you saw something on tape when he had limited time as a starter, and it obviously it didn't come to fruition when you put him out there. But I guess the one thing you do give the Bears credit for, Ryan Pace and Joey Lane, the contract negotiator in this situation, is at least they left them a better out, right, after this season, because the Texans had to trade a 2nd-round pick with Brock Osweiler to Cleveland just to dump him, just to get that money off the books. And at least the Bears won't have to do that in this situation.
Yeah, I know some fans think that the entire Mike Glennon signing was to throw people off of the Mitch Trubisky interests, and in some parts, I guess I agree with it.
Well, it helped, whether it was intentional or not, and I do think it was at least part of the equation, but it did help.
Yeah, it's my understanding that the Bears' plan was always one of the top free agent quarterbacks that was available, and they're going to draft one of the best. They're going to find their way to get one of the best quarterbacks in this year's draft. And I went back and looked at the free agency class, and it was not that impressive. I mean, your top 3 options were arguably Mike Glennon, Brian Hoyer, and Josh McCown. I mean, that's what do you do there? At least when you compared them Hoyer and Glennon. That's what it came down to for the Bears. Hoyer was 4 years older. You knew what you had in him. Mike Glennon still had some potential for upside. He was kind of an unknown because he was a backup for a couple of years. You know what you had in Hoyer because he started five games for you last year. And Hoyer, his price went up. The Bears paid him $2 million last year, and he got a two-year, $12 million deal from the San Francisco 49ers. So the prices started to set the market, and I remember the Buccaneers wanted to keep Mike Glennon, and the word was they're going to make him the highest-paid backup, and at that point, that would have been something in excess of $7 million at that point last year when they signed him in free agency. So the market for Glennon was above that. I know you got this $15 million annual average for Glennon, but really, look, the money wasn't a problem. The Bears had plenty of cap space. George McCaskey's going to have to swallow it, but if you look back at it, the Bears had a plan, free agent quarterback and a top draft pick, and they executed it.
Well, and they, out of those three options in Hoyer, McCown, and Glennon, they did go after the guy who they thought had the best promise in terms of upside. At that point, you knew what Hoyer was. He was in your own building. And while this regime didn't have McCown, they obviously, everyone kind of knows who McCown was. And they did have interest in McCown a few years ago, remember?
Yeah.
But those guys were just going to be kind of, you know, in retrospect, maybe better options to help develop Trubisky. But I guess I can understand the logic where you looked at Glennon, much younger, hadn't played a whole lot. Maybe there was some untapped potential there that you could get out of him. Unfortunately, just the way it works out, complete disaster.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears wanted to take another swing at their quarterback situation. And the more swings, the more likely you're going to fix it. And look, McCown's well into his 30s. Brian Hoyer's 31. Mike Glennon was 27. So the age alone warranted a swing at it just in case he became something. And the Bears certainly saw some downsides, some shortcomings to Mike Glennon's game, but he was still a younger option. I get the money concerns, whatever, but he was still one of the best options available in a very slim free agent class, as it always is for quarterbacks.
Yep, and you know, as long as the only time I think it's really that big of a deal from a money standpoint is when it's more of a cap problem and it's preventing you from doing other moves that maybe you otherwise would have made. And they did do this in an offseason where they had plenty of cap space. It's not like he's killing you right now from signing somebody else. So, you know, it turns out to be the McCaskey's money that goes down the drain here, and it doesn't really affect them from an operation standpoint. Unless, you know, maybe going forward, Ryan Pace has to explain some things a little bit better when he wants to spend big money. But, you know, ideally, Trubisky works out. And as we've said all along, if he's good, none of this matters.
He doesn't have to explain a darn thing.
Right, exactly.
If Mr. Trubisky turns out to be the franchise quarterback he thinks he'll be.
Yeah, man, who wants to get tackled? Who wants to get sacked? Not me.
Yeah, that's what hopefully is true. Because Glennon got sacked plenty and tackled and fumbled.
No.
All right. Well, we just wanted to get a quick emergency podcast up here for you guys today because of, you know, it's goes from a short week to an extremely long week. And we'll be back Thursday. So everything's, again, off a day. So Thursday is when we'll have our Week 5 preview episode for you, looking ahead and really breaking down this matchup against the Vikings. And at that point, we'll have talked to Mitch Trubisky and John Fox a few times about what went into this decision. So we'll get all their details and go forward from there with a more complete preview of the Bears-Vikings Monday night game, which, you know, I think has some extra excitement here. Could you imagine the scene if they had just trotted Glennon back out as a starter,
man,
with the Cubs playing a playoff game at Wrigley the same day? It would have been ugly. It would have been an embarrassment.
It would have been so empty in national television. And, like, I don't know if that played into this, but I think the organization already felt pretty disheartened and dismayed at the first 4 weeks. So it's time to play the kid. It's officially the start of a new era for the Bears franchise. I think it's a pretty exciting time for everybody.
Yeah, we go back to that excitement that we had on draft night.
The Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, wow! And here we go. His first official game. Week 5 at home, Monday Night Football. Should be a pretty exciting night at Soldier Field. And, hey, maybe the Cubs will have a day game, and that'll lead right into this. It'll be a perfect sports day for Chicago fans. But we'll be back on Thursday with our Week 5 preview episode. We'll have more reaction from Hallis Hall once we get a chance to talk to Mitch Trubisky and John Fox and everybody else in that locker room as they get ready to play the Vikings. By the way, our podcast voicemail line is open, 312-222-5050. We reopened that today once the news of Mitch Trubisky being the starter came out, and we will share your voicemails from both the Packer loss last week and the, you know, the Mike Glennon disaster there, and then add in the more positive reaction that you guys probably have today from Mitch Trubisky being named the starter. 312-222-5050 is that phone number. Again, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. That's where you can read all of our reaction to Mitch Trubisky being named the Bears starter and our coverage all week long from Hallis Hall. If you don't already subscribe, please rate and review the podcast as well on iTunes. You can subscribe there. You can also subscribe on the TuneIn app. That's a good way to listen. If you don't have Apple products, or the WGN Radio app is good as well. You can find it all there. And our podcast in print will be in Wednesday morning's edition of the Chicago Sun-Times. I have a feeling it will be about the quarterback situation once again. All right, we'll talk to you Thursday as we get ready for a big Monday nighter. Bears-Vikings takes on a different meeting now with Mitch Trubisky as the starter.
Who wants to get sacked? Not me.